And FBI confidence man is posing as a South by Southwest presenter this week. And as you can see, he's enthralling his audiences. So let's dig a little bit deeper into FOMO beyond what the acronym means. FOMO is the uneasy and sometimes all-consuming feeling that you're missing out, that your peers are doing in the know about or in possession of more or something better than you. Symptoms include procrastination, indecision, anxiety, shortness of breath, pacing, heart racing, nail biting, hair twisting, and the list goes on. Now, if you're still unsure whether you have FOMO, let me put forth a few questions to help you determine. Are you the one plotting your next three moves when you're already out at a party? On the rare Friday night that you stay in, do you find yourself tied to Facebook and Foursquare, watching your friend's every move? And do you wait until the last possible moment to commit to a social engagement until a better one comes along? If you find yourself nodding in agreement, you are not alone. There are many fellow FOMO sufferers. And here's a testimonial from one, Bianca Bosker, who's a senior technology editor at the Huffington Post. She said, "You could have FOMO over a TV show, a party, a gadget, that really good burrito from a food cart. As a FOMO sufferer, I can report sweating, itching, pacing, and compulsive refreshing of my Twitter feed." Now, I want to show you what FOMO can look like, courtesy of a clip from How I Met Your Mother. I forgot the name of it for a second. But let me set it up for a second. A couple seasons ago, Jorge Garcia guest starred. This is, as you know him, Hurley from Lost. And he was cursed. And his curse was the fact that he kept missing out on epic, even miraculous events. It was named the Curse of the Blitz after the original victim. And the effect of the curse was so strong that the victim's absence was sometimes thought to be the trigger of these epic events. Well, somehow, on Thanksgiving 2010, he passed the curse along to one of the main characters, that being Barney, played by Neil Patrick Harris. Let me show you a clip to help illustrate. And forgive me, I'm going to have to navigate between PowerPoint and video because the embeds did something funky today. So bear with
me. Barney, could you give me some more ice?
Sure. But no one move while I'm gone.
I'm scared.
You're safe. It's okay to leave the room. You have to actually leave the building for something cool to happen.
Thanks. You're the only one who's nice to me about this.
Okay, I gotta test this.
Dude, you walked out of the room, the laws of physics stopped, and the laws of awesome tripled.
Oh, man, you said I could leave the room. I just wanted to see something cool happen.
As you can see, there's a lot of angst involved in missing out on one of these scenarios. So, let's move on. Let's face it, FOMO is a social angst that's always existed, arguably since the dawn of time. Isn't that why Adam took a bite of the apple, after all? Wasn't it FOMO that drove Pandora to open Zeus's box of illness, disease, and evil? Or us to open that email attachment that we kind of knew in our gut that we shouldn't? But what's changed is that social media has amplified FOMO to the nth degree. It has become a pronounced phenomena in this age of social media. It's an age-old angst, but it is growing ever more poignant, and it's reached a tipping point. With 845 million plus users on Facebook, not to mention users on Pinterest, Flickr, Tumblr, Instagram, and other social platforms, we have become so aware of what everybody else is doing. We are living this life in real time, thanks to social media. People are clamoring to show and tell all, no matter how personal, as it is happening. As a result, the web is evolving into a constantly updating stream of real-time information, images, conversation, and memes. And with the proliferation of smartphones, this stream seamlessly accompanies us wherever we go around the clock. We cannot escape the fact that we may be missing out on what everybody else is doing. Now I want to show you an example of a marketer that has acknowledged the fact that when you're without technology, you really feel this fear of missing out. This clip comes courtesy of Duracell PowerMat, which is a manufacturer of mobile phone chargers. And I'm just going to show you a tidbit of it, but as you'll see, it references FOMO explicitly.
With a dead phone, I can't text my kids. I don't know where they are. Library? Soccer practice? Unsavory friend's house? What are they doing? I'm completely out of touch.
It took me months to become the mayor of Comic World. When I couldn't check in on Foursquare, my dominion was gone in an instant. Foiled again.
I feel like I don't have a voice in the society without updating my status or tweeting everything I do.
I've never felt more lost than when my cell phone died. I couldn't use Google Maps. This is not Cedar Rapids. Where am I?
Do you suffer from FOMO? It's a very real problem affecting thousands of people every day. FOMO is the constant fear of missing out of social events, important information, life-changing gossip going on without you. But there is a cure. We can end FOMO by keeping your phone alive and keeping you connected with the world.
So, as you can see, it's positioning itself as a way to prevent FOMO by keeping your cell phone alive. So, many times when we follow our friends or the people on Twitter, they post everything from the mundane to the inane to sometimes the certifiably insane. And it's way too much information. But it's those people who portray an online image of an offline charmed or glamorous life that we tend to pay attention to, isn't it? Whether we know it or not, we are engaging in a game of social one-upmanship. I'm more witty, worldly, in the know, on the go than you are. Indeed, in a survey that we conducted back in January, 3/4 of American adults told us, "I feel people use social media to brag about their lives." This sentiment is expressed most strongly among the millennial generation, with 8 in 10 teens and young adults saying as much. And nowhere is this more evident than at hashtag friendly events. People around the world love to tell other people where they are and what they are doing. Events like Davos, Coachella, TED, and of course South by Southwest have elicited hashtags galore, with people bragging about being there and others expressing FOMO about not being there, being everywhere but. So, I'd like to show you an example from last week. Last week was TED, and for all of us who weren't there in Long Beach, California, it was hard to escape the constant barrage of comments from our friends in the Twitterati about how fabulous and or inspiring Ted was. Here are just a couple of examples. So I thought it would be interesting to perhaps generate a little FOMO of our own today, given that we are at a FOMO-worthy event and hopefully a FOMO-worthy session. So I wanted to throw it out to all of you to ask for maybe some suggestions on perhaps a rumor we might want to spread from this session. Anyone? Bill Murray? Lady Gaga's playing. Lady Gaga. We can't have too many celebrities here or it won't be believable. iPad 3? Okay, let's vote on this. Bill Murray, how many? All right. Lady Gaga.
Yes.
iPad 3. All right, that wins. Why don't we tweet that out and see what happens? I'd like one of those. So back to business. Social media is driving relative deprivation, not to get all sociological on you, but it is a sociological term that speaks to the dissatisfaction we feel when we compare our circumstances with other circumstances and perceive that we have less. Now, it's interesting because these days we can see what Dad is tweeting about. How about that awesome lobster ravioli that he whipped up last night? But we also have access to the rich and famous. So social media has this ability to give us access to the upper echelons of society, but at the same time, bring us back to reality. It's interesting, though, because it's not the tweets from Gaga or from Ashton Kutcher that elicit or escalate our FOMO. It's the tweets from those we perceive as our peers. When we compare others in similar circumstances, we get down on ourselves when they seem to be engaging in enviable or seemingly enviable activities. As Jenna Wortham reported in the New York Times last year, a friend who works in advertising told me, are you here in the audience, the friend in advertising, told me that she felt fine about her life until she opened Facebook. Then I'm thinking, I'm 28 with three roommates, and oh, it looks like you have a precious baby and a mortgage. And then I want to die. And a more recent New York Times article reported Laura Zigman is saying, and Laura is a novelist, I had to go on a vacation photo diet. I had this bizarre voyeuristic habit of scrolling through people's travel photos online and feeling like, why haven't I walked the Great Wall of China? And guilt, I should be taking my son to Spain. And then she admits, I don't even like travel. So as you can see, FOMO affects everyone. No one is immune. It spans cultures. It spans generations. Who can forget getting grounded and not being able to go to that high school dance? What parent doesn't want to see their children produce grandkids aplenty? And no teenager wants to be the last one to get a cell phone of their peers. It is different for everyone, but it affects everyone. While it affects everyone, the generation that is most susceptible to FOMO is the millennial generation, those in their teens, 20s, and early 30s. In fact, 6 in 10 of our millennial survey respondents said that they can relate to FOMO. A third of them said that they experience FOMO often or sometimes. Now, I would guess that's a lot of underreporting. Of course, this could be by virtue of their life stage. This is a very narcissistic time when they're into defining their identity and exploring others' identity. But it's also due to the fact that they've grown up using these FOMO-inducing tools. They are more inclined to know everything about everyone's business because they are online all the time. To them, the web is a goes without saying part of their life. It's automatically configured into their lives. Therefore, they're on Facebook all the time. And they, by far, are the most active when it comes to updating their friends on what they are doing, who they are with, and where they are at. They're also the most active when it comes to commenting on their friends' posts or sharing with their friends what they've recently bought and checking their news feed. But they're also aware of the FOMO-inducing behavior that they're undertaking. 5 in 10 of millennials said it's easy to feel left out on a site like Facebook. And 43% say that social media has amplified any fears that they have of missing out. As you can see here, teens and adult millennials are also the most likely to feel left out when they see that some of their friends or peers are doing something they're not, when they see they're buying something that they're not, or when they find out about something before they do. As a result, they're feeling a little bit stressed out. 50% of millennials say they spread themselves too thin for fear of missing out. Now, this is more pronounced among the adult millennials, with 6 in 10 saying as much. Gen Xers, we're not far behind, with 43% of us spreading ourselves too thin. It's no wonder we say yes to everything. Constant planning and eye-calling has us saying yes for fear of missing out. We also want to stay in the know about everything, which has become increasingly difficult given the exponential amount of video to watch, information to read, and goods to sift through. Now I'd like to show you a clip from Portlandia that helps to illustrate this. Specifically, the fear of not being in the know, and even more specifically, the fear of not having read the latest. Take a look.
Maggie's running late.
Okay. Hey, did you guys read that thing in the New Yorker last month about how golf is an analogy for marriage?
I did. Mm-hmm. I did read that. Did you hear the thing at McSweeney's?
Whoa.
I was comparing CD tracks and album tracks. Did you read that?
Yeah. Did you read that thing in Mother Jones about eco chairs and eco ways to sit?
I did.
Yeah.
I did. Did you read that thing in Spin about all the festivals?
Did you read that thing in Pace? It was about the National.
Oh, I saw that. Did you see that thing in Dwell about all the mid-century houses?
Yeah. Did you read the New York Times?
Yes.
New York Observer?
Yes.
Washington Post?
Yes.
Wall Street Journal?
Of course I read it.
Did you read that steampunk article in Boing Boing?
I did not like the end of it.
Did you read that skywriting over the Blend River?
Yes. Did you read a fortune cookie?
Yes.
From last night?
Yes.
Did you read it?
Yes.
There were two.
Yes. Did you read that thing that guy wrote in the sand on the beach?
Yeah.
Did you read the Portland Mercury?
Yeah.
Did you read the Willamette Week?
Yeah.
Did you read the Seattle Stranger?
Beginning to end.
Did you read the SF Weekly?
I loved it.
The Harvard Lampoon?
Well written.
Did you read Mad Magazine?
I did not like the end of it.
Did you read Kathy? Did you read Family Circus?
Sure.
Did you read Calvin and Hobbes?
Sure.
Did you read the Boston Globe?
Sure.
Did you read the Washington Blade?
We read it together.
Did you read?
Uh-huh.
Did you read?
Mm-hmm.
Did you read?
Of course I did.
Did you read?
I read it to a friend of mine. Did you read the closing credits of that movie?
Yeah, did you read that book?
Did you read it?
Did you read the Bible?
Did you read it?
Did you read it?
Did you read it?
Finger writing on the window?
You did? Because I did.
Hey, Maggie.
Did you guys read the New Portland Monthly? It's crazy.
Hey, it says don't walk. Can't you read?
So as you can see, there's a lot of angst involved in not being in the know and not having read the latest. So let's talk about how brands can leverage this social media-fueled FOMO. Just as FOMO has existed since the dawn of time, it only goes to reason that brands have been tapping into FOMO since the dawn of marketing communications, with calls to action that range from the subtle to the blatant. Marketers have always encouraged us not to miss out on the latest or greatest products or deals. But today, they're tapping into our fear of missing out on experiences and our inability to be everywhere and do everything. I'm going to show you some cases to help illustrate how marketers are doing this. The first one comes from one of our clients, one of JWT's clients, Smirnoff. Now, Smirnoff is playing or tapping into the fear of missing out on epic experiences. And I want to show you a video to help illustrate. This is a video of their nightlife exchange program. So as you can see, Smirnoff and JWT were definitely playing into the FOMO-inducing you-had-to-be-there experiences. They generated excitement about being there on social media, and then after, I missed it because people were bragging about that one night when cities across the world swapped their nightlife. It launched in 2010 across 14 cities and has since expanded to 50 cities with a partnership with Madonna. Of course, FOMO is an organic fit when it comes to nightlife brands such as Smirnoff and such as Heineken, as this next case shows. Last year, Heineken launched a campaign with the tagline, "Sunrise belongs to moderate drinkers." We should all remember that here at South by Southwest. Basically, the point, they encourage moderate drinking because you might miss out on the best parts of the night. In one 85-second spot, this very handsome James Franco lookalike is enjoying the evening while drinking moderately. Meanwhile, people around him are getting overserved and incapacitated. Well, he ends up leaving eventually with a very lovely lady DJ on his arm to enjoy the sunrise. And Heineken prompts people to tweet their sunrise and celebrate the world. Now, if you were totally incapacitated, you wouldn't be able to see that sunrise or enjoy it, would you? And then you're seeing more brands position their products and services as ways to prevent FOMO, as we saw in the Duracell Power Mat example. AT&T is indeed doing this with its Don't Be Left Behind campaign, and I'll show you a video to help demonstrate.
Hey, everyone's eating tacos outside Bill's office.
Don't you think that's some information I would like to know?
I like tacos.
You invited Eric?
I thought Eric gave you the creeps.
Oh. Yeah. Hey.
Don't Don't be left behind. AT&T, the nation's fastest mobile broadband network, is getting faster with 4G.
So as you can see, AT&T is positioning its wireless broadband and 4G services as a way to ensure you never miss out on those experiences or those messages. And of course, there are a slew of FOMO-combating apps coming on the market, promising that they will ensure that you don't miss out. One of them comes from Color, the much-hyped 2011 startup. It's relaunched as an app that allows mobile users to share live 30-second broadcasts of their lives to Facebook and friends' phones. Those who can't be there in real life can share in brief, intimate moments of friends' lives. And then there's Barspace TV, an app that provides live feeds from participating bars in the U.S., allowing viewers to see how many people are at a particular spot and what they're up to in real time and zero in on the most promising scene. And there's TimeRaiser, which is an upcoming service that explicitly promises to relieve FOMO with the tag, "Never miss out." By using predictive technology to help users discover interesting things they want to do while juggling what they need to do, TimeRaiser looks to bring a sense of serendipity to a highly scheduled world. And this is actually a t-shirt from them, which is really interesting. And it says, "Friends don't let friends miss out." So, of course, there's always a counter approach to this, to any big movements, and you're seeing more brands taking this counter approach too, saying just enjoy the moment. They're tapping into this growing desire to slow down, savor the moment, or just focus on one task at a time. And here is an example from the Road Safety Council of Western Australia, which encourages us to enjoy the ride. It's a 3-minute commercial, so I'm only going to show you 1 minute of it because I know our attention span isn't that long. But the first bit shows how, you know, this rat race that we find ourselves caught up in from time to time is unwinnable. It's actually detrimental sometimes. And then the next portion of it encourages us to slow down and breathe a little bit. And I'm going to show you that part right now.
What we do well.
Oh,
we
sorry.
Breathe.
Let me go back.
When was the last? But when we slow down, we discover that life has a natural pace. And it's good. We slot into a groove that's always been there. Life becomes richer, more pleasurable, and more fulfilling. We may do fewer things, but what we do well. We breathe. When was the last time you actually took time to breathe? Not just the shallow ticking over of your respiratory system, but to really breathe. Taking a long, slow breath in to its comfortable conclusion, and letting it all out, and doing it again, and again, and again, until you're flooded with calm. Imagine life lived in this zone. So why haven't we slowed down before? If you're worried life will overtake you, you're wrong. Life is where you are and what you're doing right now. And now. And now. Let's say two calm.
So, as you can see, did you find yourself breathing during that spot? I'm like, wow, I wasn't breathing up until now. As you can see, that is definitely a counter movement, and it's pretty much saying sometimes you can enrich your life by choosing to miss out on a few things from time to time and just savoring the here and now. So, as you can see, FOMO has a powerful potential for brands. It has the potential to drive spending since it heightens participation on social media platforms and motivates consumers to do more. Now, while there's no cure for the common FOMO, brands can choose to ease it, escalate it, make light of it, turn it into a positive, or help us live with it. More specifically, here are some tips on how brands can use FOMO. They can escalate FOMO in order to motivate desired actions. They can offer exclusive, unique, or over-the-top experiences likely to inspire FOMO in non-participants, as the Smirnoff Nightlife Exchange showed. They can encourage people to join in on the things that make them feel left out, or show them how to get a taste of what they're missing with more affordable or convenient choices, for example. They can explain that their brand's offering is just as fabulous as whatever's inducing FOMO, pointing out how and why it delivers similar or better satisfaction. They can offer tools for avoiding FOMO to consumers who act on their feelings rather than festering in them, as Time Razor and the other FOMO combating apps show. They can tap into the social currency that notable experiences provide social media participants. They can assure the afflicted that they're not missing out on much after all, as the Road Safety Council spot showed. But a warning: marketers need to retain some sensitivity. This state of mind can be a sore spot for many consumers. Now, we've covered a lot of ground today, so I thought in case you missed anything, I would show you a quick summation video that shows some of the finer points that we covered off on today. So you can see a lot more research about FOMO on jwtintelligence.com and via our Twitter account as well. And that's about it. I thank you again for your being here today and happy to answer any questions. And I ask if you have questions, if you could come up to the mic, because they're taping this session today, and we want to hear what you have to say. Okay, I might get in trouble for this, but... Okay, it's fine. Just shout. We did the teens, and we lumped the teens and 20-somethings and early 30-somethings together because the millennial generation is so expansive. It depends on what source you look at, but those are the folks born between 1978 and 2000. So I would guess that it will be even amplified more among the Gen Zers, which we're actually studying right now, so stay tuned for that study. It should be out in the next month or so. Because they're not only the digital generation, they're the mobile generation. They're the ones that go up to the TV screen and touch it as if it's a touch screen because they're so accustomed to that, or treat a magazine like, why can't I interact with this? So I think that, you know, they'll definitely be feeling the FOMO. Other questions? Yes. Yes. Yeah, it's a tough line, but you know, we live in this radically transparent world. As I said, people clamor to show and tell all, no matter how personal. They are becoming more aware of the privacy issues involved in that, but increasingly, people will realize that they have to give up a little bit in order to get something. So, for instance, these FOMO combating apps, they kind of have to know a little bit about me in order to tell me what I could be missing out on if I don't act now. So it is a tricky bit, but obviously always have an opt-in culture, always get the permission first before extracting that data in order to help them combat that FOMO. Other questions? Yes. I think that marketers have been doing it since the dawn of time. And I think, yeah, I mean, you're going to miss out if you're not here. So I don't think it's a bad thing. I don't pass judgment on the trends that I spot. I really don't. But I look at how brands can leverage those trends. And, you know, if you're a brand who wants people to revel in the simple pleasure of your brand, well, maybe you go the counter trend to that. But if you're the manufacturer of the iPad 3, well, FOMO is your sweet spot. So I think it depends on what you are marketing. Yes. Oh, catchphrases. I'm not that clever to come up with catchphrases that on the spot. But keywords, I mean, I guess I'm not really understanding your question. Are you trying to get kids to go to school or to go to their courses? Oh, grad school. I think it's what they would miss out on in their higher education. So showing them their potential, what they could potentially make or do or achieve if they went to grad school. So showing them, you know, that life that they could lead if they took part. Yes. Hi. B2B sales services, how would you do that for any kind of focus? Oh, that's a good question. Yeah, that's a good question, because with B2B, it's completely different because procurement officers and chief financial officers come into play, and they tend to be more logical than emotional. But I would play up the value-added services that your product or service gives that they might miss out on if they go with the competitors. You're welcome. Yes. I don't know if that mic's working, so.
Whatever. Do you think that brands have to choose between poking fun of it and trying to escalate it? So I work for a hotel company, a big, like a hotel brand, and I feel like we could do a combination of both.
I would pick one, to tell you the truth. I feel like you really have to be focused with your messaging. Otherwise, it could be a little bit disparate. So I would pick the strongest one that's right for your brand.
Okay, thanks.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You were largely talking about an audience who are incredibly media educated. And I just sort of wonder at what point, you know, we have a phrase that we've created in advertising and broadcasting, which is, excuse me, your strategy is showing. And I look at sort of some of those spots that you showed, and I get sort of sense of the strategy we're showing for
that. Yeah.
At what point do you think you get the tipping point so that your audience, like, look, I know you're trying to tell me that I'm missing out. Yeah, everybody's trying to tell me.
Right.
At what point do you think that happens? Has that happened?
Well, I wasn't like... advocating for some of those spots, except ours, which I thought was a little bit more subtle than other ones. I just wanted to in-your-face it, so just to get the message across about how brands are doing this. But I would err on the side of subtlety because, you know, it is that big don't miss out sign otherwise, and it feels very infomercial-like if you go that way, unless it's more tongue-in-cheek. You know, I felt like the Duracell Power Mat one was so tongue-in-cheek, it could be, like, viral because it was so blatant. So whereas the Don't Be Left Behind campaign might be a little bit your strategy is showing, you know.
Yeah.
But I'm sure there'll be an evolution of that. I'm not passing judgment on it. It's not our work, so. Anyone else? How's Twitter doing? iPad 3? Yes. Yeah.
And every time we tweet about Southwest, in a way, we are doing that.
Yes.
How do we not become our douchebag friends?
I know. It's so hard. Because, like, in the presentation, I'm making fun of them, but I'm it this week, you know? It's so hard because you do want to, like, tell people about these things. But I think it's more like adding value to the conversation. So rather than just being like, I'm at this cool party or I'm at this cool session, like, what I tend to do is extract a really interesting quote that then people can learn from or, like, riff off of or build off of rather than just being like, I'm here. You know, adding something of value to the conversation. All right. Well, let's conclude. Thank you all for coming.